Legal Update brought to you by the Melkert Hubert Jadeen Law Firm Common Sense Legal Advice. With me today, attorney Jason Lee. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
What do you know around the world before we get into our joke and our topic today? Anything new happening around that you want to throw out there? I mean,
other than the impeachment?
Yeah, we were talking off air on that, and we only have like 10 to 15 minutes here.
Right, probably shouldn't get into that.
6 hours like public hearings, take place. So we should probably just move on to the joke. But before that, we'll mention that it seems like the weather is improving a bit than what it had been.
It's supposed to be. It's supposed to get up to 40 or so this week.
It's t-shirt weather, as they say in Minnesota. All right.
It's all relative.
It is. Do you have a joke?
I do.
Okay.
So Bob left for work one Friday evening. But it was payday, so instead of going home, he stayed out the entire weekend with his friends and spent his entire wages. When he finally appeared home on Sunday night, he was confronted by his angry wife, who barraged him for nearly 2 hours with a tirade befitting his actions. Finally, his wife stopped the nagging and said, "How would you like it if you didn't see me for 2 or 3 days?" He replied, "That would be fine with me." Monday went by, he didn't see his wife. Tuesday went by, he didn't see his wife. Wednesday went by, he still didn't see his wife. But on Thursday, the swelling went down just enough where he could barely see her out of the corner of his left eye.
Oh boy.
That's it.
All right. What are we talking about today for a topic?
All right. So today we're going to talk about passing down the family cabin or other recreational property.
Oh, okay. So what do we need to start with?
Well, so, in Minnesota, there's an estimated 124,000 recreational or seasonal homes. So that doesn't even include hunting property and that kind of thing. And so the problem we often see is properties are handed down usually to children, and that usually goes okay. But then once one of those children passes away, then that share, say there's three children, that share gets divided another three ways, and all of a sudden you have a bunch of people owning the property. I had a client recently and there were owners with 1/13th interest in this cabin up north.
Wow.
And so the more owners you have, obviously, the more likely there is that not all those owners are going to get along, and so managing the property can become a nightmare.
Okay, so the owners, the parents, let's say, in this case, they still have the property. They're still alive. What do you do in a circumstance before anything happens to help alleviate issues that will come forward? No doubt, if there's, as you say, like 13, you can't not have problems. So how do you alleviate that?
Well, it's really dependent on the situation and the desires of the original owners. But there's basically two tools that I usually use. Put the cabin either into a trust, or we form an LLC and put the cabin into the LLC. So either the trust or the LLC actually owns the property, and then all the family members then have interests in the trust or the LLC. So the advantage is that with these entities, either the trust or the LLC, you can set up rules for managing the property ahead of time, and everybody has to abide by those rules. So you don't have to try to later have 13 owners try to agree on something.
So give me an example. Let's say in a 13 owner case, if you have it under a trust and some rules are set in place prior, what kind of rules are we talking about that if one of the children, let's say, dies, then it just goes to the divvy up of 12, or do you just,
Yeah. So with a trust, the original owners, say the parents own a cabin and they put it in a trust, those owners write the rules of the trust. So they can dictate who it's going to pass down from every time an owner passes away or decides they don't want to be a part of it. It governs basically how people become owners, or with a trust, it would actually be called a beneficiary, but essentially, you know, how people come in, how people leave. They can set rules on how it's shared, how the time is divvied up, how maintenance is handled, you know, who has to pay for maintenance. With the trust, you can actually put some money into a trust account as well at a bank, and that, or into investments that will help to cover the maintenance too.
Okay, well, that makes sense, yeah.
And then with an LLC, LLCs, you know, provide a little more flexibility for later generations because it's an LLC, it's a business, so everybody's an owner of that business, and so they can change the rules if everybody agrees later on. So it provides a little more flexibility, a little less control, though, for the original owner. So it really depends on the original owners and what they want. If they really want to control that future use, then maybe a trust is the way to go.
So the really the best thing to do is have that in place while you, as the owners, the, let's say the parents in this case, you're still alive and you still own it. Get that in place.
It's always going to be easier to put it in place when there's less owners, because everybody has to agree to put it in place in the, you know, and agree on what those rules, you know, up front. So it can be put in place later. It's just a lot easier to do that now versus later down the road. And these solutions also provide a little bit of protection for the owners as well, with respect to liability and those sorts of things. That's, you know, if you have a bunch of owners, one of them gets some kind of legal judgment against them, then you have to worry about a lien on the property and everything like that. With a trust, for example, they can't put a lien on the property because of a beneficiary that has a judgment against them. So it provides a little bit of legal protection there as well.
Just a general question, I guess. If you put that in a trust or LLC, does that alleviate any problems down the road? Probably not. I mean, once the parents die that own that, and that, you know, you've got the rules and regulations, is there a, you know, one of the kids decides, I don't like that, can they take legal action? Can they take something to court? Can they dispute it?
It becomes a lot harder for them to do that. You know, if it's because this property in a trust, for example, the trust actually owns the property. And so the rules of the trust govern. There'll be a trustee that's designated in the trust to manage it according to the rules of the trust. And that's how it has to go. So that beneficiary isn't an actual owner.
No,
they're just someone who benefits under the trust.
And if they don't like it, what they do is they go to an attorney and ask if there's anything I can do, and they'll say no.
Most likely, but you know, it does solve a lot of problems just because there's rules and everybody knows the rules up front, so there a lot less disputes come up in the first place.
And that's what you want to avoid. Disputes. Absolutely. Anything else we need to know?
I think that's pretty much it, without getting too far in the weeds.
Very good. Legal Update brought to you by the Melkert Hubert Chedin Law Firm, Common Sense Legal Advice. Attorney Jason Lee with us today. Jason, have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.